Welcome to Pastor Talk. Join us as we discuss the issues of the church and the matters of the heart. We pray that you will be encouraged and strengthened today as we join our host, international evangelist and longtime pastor, Tom Sears.
And welcome inside of this episode of Pastor Talk. I am Pastor Tom Sears, senior pastor at New Beginnings Church in Lost Creek, West Virginia. Thanks for being here with us today. Joining us in studio, Kevin Poth and Jeff Bennett. We'll get to them in a minute. Yeah. Our mailing address, 8901 Goodhope Pike, Lost Creek, West Virginia, 26385. Well, this morning we had a very special service at New Beginnings Church, and it was to announce the installation of two new associates, and they join me here on Pastor Talk, Kevin Poth and Jeffrey Bennett. Gentlemen, congratulations.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Today we talked out of Haggai chapter 2 in the church, and it was an interesting story that I was able to share, because I've been in contact with this particular ministry, and I'll leave all the details out, but this ministry director gets back to me and they're like, hey, I feel like the Lord wants me to tell you this, that there's going to be far more reaching impact in your life. God's going to begin to use you to reach more people, and he wants you to know that the former or the latter shall be greater than the former. And the exciting thing for me was, and this morning, it just kind of set me back, because that was the scripture I was going to preach from Haggai chapter 2. And I just feel like God's sending not only our church a message, not only us as individuals a message, but really he's speaking to his church that he's about to do something. I believe he's going to awaken the church in America once again, and I believe revival is coming back to this country. Gentlemen, what do you think?
Tom, it's, an honor for me to get to join you guys again here and have a chance to share some of my thoughts on the situation. And I would agree that God is definitely up to something. His spirit is moving. He's calling out to those that are his, drawing them closer, saying, you know, come, I'll give you rest. Mm-hmm. And you're going to need rest, because the journey's about to get really hard. And, you know, we've had such a push from society to be stuffed and packed away and, you know, keep your religion at your house, you know, don't bring your God out to the public square. And that's never what we were called to do. And that's not how God's going to be treated. And so now he's saying to his people, you know, it's time to stop hiding in the shadows. It's time to stop trembling just because the enemy is shouting. March out, and I'll be with you.
I think that's very well said, Kevin.
Scripture comes to mind where it says that the gates of hell will not prevail. Gates are defensive. And he's calling us to be on the offensive. We've sat in the church way too long, being hidden away in a corner, being the quiet little church mouse. And you can praise God in your little box. That's fine. Don't come bother us. Well, the Lord's telling us, well, it's time to go take the land and tear down the gates and be used. Revival is bringing back to life or bringing back into use. We've sat in our little box, not being used, having our little personal time with Jesus. But he's calling us to get out of the box and go be used.
The harvest is great, but the laborers are few.
Yes. The field is ripe. Mm-hmm. It's had time to grow. It's had time to ripen. It's time for us to go out and bring in the harvest.
You know, I believe that God is really beginning to awaken his church. You know, we've talked over the last several weeks on Pastor Talk about how, you know, God's calling us deeper. God's calling us to a closer walk with Him. God is looking to His church to be the light. And here we are today, you know, talking about how we believe God is about to shake things up. And, you know, Jeff, you mentioned that you thought that maybe it could come through difficult times. Is that basically what you were saying? Your church, get ready because difficult times are coming? Is that basically what you meant?
Absolutely. We have got to have, you know, and when I say we, I obviously can't speak for you guys. You try and act like you know somebody's heart, and then you put yourself in God's position. So for myself, I have got to bring myself to a place of seriousness and soberness before God, because everything in His Word shows that things are going to get dark. Things are going to get tough for Christians. We've been so blessed here in America to be sheltered by so much, and I think that all, obviously, for another time, points back to the founding of this nation being founded on Judeo-Christian principles and the God of Christianity. So, with that being said, I think we've been spared much by what people have sown before us. We've reaped many blessings we didn't work for. Other nations, you know, Christians are being persecuted left and right, and we're spared a lot of that here, but we won't be spared that forever. And, you know, when we speak of revival, it needs to start in the house of God, and it needs to start with those professing to be Christians. You know, let's not just have a form of religion, but, you know, and deny the power thereof. No, let's have the power. Let's do it in spirit and truth, and let's go out and impact this world so that, as you say, we can turn the society back around. He doesn't lock us into a path of darkness. Things are going to get tough, but He's our shield. He's our barrier. So with Him, we don't have anything to fear of it. But if we're not serious and close to Him, then that should put a little sense of fear in people of what is coming.
Kevin, do you agree that there's a shaking coming? There's some difficult days ahead. And if you do agree with that, do you believe that's what will bring about revival?
First of all, I do agree. Okay. Second of all, that will bring about revival, because being comfortable and complacent is what is leading us to death. He's going to shake this nation. He's going to shake His church. The Bible says judgment's coming to the house first.
That scripture just went through my mind, yeah.
And if we're not right first, how are we going to help those in the world that have no idea what's going to come, what's going on, what's happening? We've got to be rooted and grounded in the truth, like we've spoken here so many times before.
Yeah.
I was reading a couple of days ago, pretty much word for word, what we've been saying. There's been pastors in Uganda and Namibia saying the exact same thing. And we have to get back to the truth of the Word, not all the false teachings and everything that tickles our ears that lulls us to sleep.
You mentioned Uganda. I have a close friend of mine who's from there, and he was a part of the revival that hit there in Uganda, where, I mean, thousands of people converted to Christ. And, you know, and then you see some of the challenges that they're facing today. Do you think that the American church is influencing some of the churches around the world, and thus? I remember, let me put it this way, and then I'll let you respond there. I remember being in India, and a pastor came up to me and was like, I want you to teach me all the things about the American church. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, there's a lot that we're not doing correctly. Do you think that we have influenced other churches around the world?
Yes, we have. I mean, and it's not always been, like you said, for the positive. They see the affluence that we have here, and that's what they want. That's how on the same day I was reading an article about the richest pastors in the world, and I think it was Zambia, actually has the richest pastor at $6.2 million.
Wow.
Dollars is his worth. And somebody asked him, why do you have all this? Well, if I don't have all this, they won't believe what I'm preaching. He had the house, the cars, the planes. He had all that stuff just so he'd have the people to come listen to him and be basically sucked in with it.
It almost sounds like a money scheme.
You Ponzi know, scheme.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I was thinking of. Yeah, it almost sounds like that because we would rather we want people to think that if they come to Christ, these are the benefits of coming to Christ. You have all this wealth, this private jet, these and ladies and gentlemen, listen, I believe God blesses his people. I've lived that. Every person in this room has lived God's blessing. I just don't buy into the whole doctrine of, you know what, if you're not wealthy with, you know, 36 cars and four homes over $2 million and, you know, a private jet, that somehow you're missing the mark. I don't buy into that whatsoever. So Kevin, I'm sorry because I kind of interrupted you. So the affluence that they see in the American church sometimes, they kind of copy in other churches around the world?
They try to. They make that their focus. And I can't speak for every church in America, but we've gotten so earthly-minded with the riches and the earthly prosperity, yeah, we're forgetting our spiritual prosperity.
Yeah.
I would much rather live in a one-room shack and have the Spirit of God living in my heart and being and moving through me than having the mansion and the 1,000 cars, because the Bible says where your heart or where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. If your treasure is the 36 cars, that's where your heart's going to be. Yeah. It's not going to be in the heavenly places. If your treasure's in heaven and with the Lord, that's where your heart's going to be. It's what your heart focuses on. It's what it is motivated to work towards.
We're about to step off into something, so let me give you a warning here. So, you know, I threw the 36 cars into it, but do you think that, you know, a person whose heart is, and either one of you can respond to this, a person whose heart is in the right place, in heavenly places, do they keep those 36 cars?
It's hard for me to imagine that that's the case. Now, speaking as someone who's never owned 36 cars, I've never been placed in that situation, but everything that I look and see throughout the Bible, everything that Christ taught, everything the disciples did, the early church, generosity, helping those that, you know, can't help themselves, the poor, the needy. And, you know, I'm sure that any of those extra cars could help get a family to work, get kids to daycare, and, you know, allow somebody to provide for their own. And I think that that would be the route that the Lord would want us to take.
I would have to agree, because the rich young ruler came up to Jesus. And what must I do to be saved? First said, well, go sell all that you have and come follow me. I know people that are very affluent, and they have a nice house, they have a couple of cars, but their mind is to help other people.
Yeah.
God, everybody has a gift or gifts, and the few that I know, their gift is to make money. They're very prosperous. God has blessed them. One started out as a janitor in an office in a law building, and now he's the top lawyer in Virginia.
Well, and doesn't the Bible say that he'd give us the power to make wealth?
Yes.
So having these individuals you describe, having wealth is not, it's not bad.
No.
The Bible doesn't say that money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil.
Right.
So it's not having these things or having wealth. It's rather what we do with the wealth that we have. It's not having the wealth that's bad. It's what we do with it afterwards. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay, so... So, Jeff, your argument is 36 cars, you're probably not going to keep all of them?
If you're
what hard... if a person likes to collect cars? I mean, you're a collector, right? Do you not collect things?
I am a collector of some things.
Okay, so if your wealth increases, do the maybe some of the things you collect, does that increase?
That's a easy argument to make, and... I also believe it's an easy argument to break.
Okay, do it.
Because you find out, you know, as you were just stating, it's not having the wealth that's a problem. It's does the wealth turn your heart? Because if my wealth grows and my love of worldly things grows, my collections, my 36 cars, my, you know, thousands of dollars of sports memorabilia, all these things grow, then my heart has turned away, because what should be growing is the number of people that I'm helping, the number of poor that I've fed, the number of children that I've clothed, you know, the number of people that I've helped keep on their electric. These are the things that should grow as one who's serving God and whom he's given wealth to.
First thought that comes to mind is that the word says that a wise man leaves an inheritance for the second and third generation. So he's got to build wealth somewhere. And also look at Job. Everything he had was wiped out. Because he didn't curse God and die like his wife wanted him to, God blessed him seven times more. Also building wealth. But it didn't turn Job's heart when he lost everything. Because it was right in the first place. Do you have the wealth, or does the wealth have you?
I think that's an excellent question. I collect coins. I do. I collect coins. And I can tell you that part of the motive there is I want to leave an inheritance for my children. And so I do. I collect that. But I can also tell you that I'm very active in reaching out and helping people. And, you know, I wouldn't hesitate to take that and help someone with it if I didn't have any other means. And so I think that's a good point. Do you have wealth, or does the wealth have you? Do you tend to agree with that, Jeff?
Yeah, absolutely. That's, you know, and that's kind of the point I was trying to make. It's more a matter of not what you have, but where you are, speaking in regards to your heart and how it is towards the Lord. You know, it's just like with anything. I mean, Abraham led his prized possession up the hill, ready to give it to the Lord, you know. I mean, cars are one thing, but that was his only son. And it's where's your heart, and are you willing to lay those things down when, you know, if God needs to test you in that area. But it's not like he just tests us just for the fun of things, you know what I mean? He sees the heart. And it leads me to another point I was thinking about, that while we're talking money, I guess you could throw gold in there with it.
But might as well.
So, you know, we're speaking about suffering things and trying to understand, you know, because Paul says we should count it all joy when we suffer things for the Lord. And, you know, when people experience loss. So it's like, okay, how is this suffering and this bad thing, you know, like, how is this helping me? How is this benefiting me? I don't understand why I'm counting this joy. And so I started thinking about gold. And a man will take gold and refine it so that he knows that it's pure. So then I started thinking about the Lord, and when he puts us into the fire and he refines us, it's not, he sees the heart. He knows whether or not we're pure. He's revealing to us our impurities so that he can then scrape them away so that we can draw nearer to him, because in the end, nothing impure is entering into heaven.
Correct.
So he is taking it and wiping it all away. Now, that, you know, I look at that as, okay, he's, that's why we should count this joy, because he's allowing us to see these impurities and to present them to him to just wipe them all away.
I think that's a good point. And ladies and gentlemen, you know, one of the things we try to do here on Pastor Talk is to have a conversation. And, you know, this is one of those programs where we, our conversation has taken us in a couple different directions. We started off talking about how this morning, and I have scripture that we'll get into from Haggai chapter 2. But, you know, we ended up in, you know, talking about, you know, how wealth is affecting people. And, you know, we even talked about a 36-car collection, which, that's my fault. I brought that in. But it's just a conversation. I've said this before. One of the greatest things I remember growing up as a child, when I would stay with my grandparents and we would go to church, and, you know, after church, that sit around and talk, or go get lunch and sit around and talk. And although I was not really in the conversation as a child, it's just one of the warmest memories that I have. And as I've, you know, been a pastor now, and it's one of the things I enjoy. I enjoy that conversation. I enjoy just having a topic and just seeing where it takes you, and having, and I, that's kind of what we want to do here on Pastor Talk. And Pastor Talk, we, as we announced earlier in the beginning of the program, we, this morning at New Beginnings Church, we installed two associates. Kevin and Jeff both are now associates here at New Beginnings Church. And we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue our discussion. I will get to the book of Haggai. We will talk about how the latter will be greater than the former, and how we believe revival is coming to America. But we're also going to have a portion of the program where I'd like for them to talk about their story, and just a little bit, and some amazing things. Like, for instance, I thought of Kevin's mom this morning when Kevin and Kevin's mom, Marcia, has passed away, but just how much of a joy it would have been for her to witness what happened here this morning. So little things like that, which are actually big things, we're going to talk about that. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Pastor Talk. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
My heart's breaking as you live life. Toss around like nothing, but I gave you life. When will you see that I can make you free? On and on, it's a cycle now. Say amen and then you join the crowd. Come to church and worship my name, but you don't live out what you say. All I want is you, all I need is you. Come to me, child, and live like you used to. All I want is you, all I need is you. Come to me, child. My eyes, you won't even stop to say hi. Do you not realize the blessings I've given to you? All I want is you, all I need is you. Come to me, child. out and live like you used to help life. Forgiveness of your sin. I sent my son to die for you, so you could live with me forever. Health, life, forgiveness of your sin. I sent my son to die for you, so you could live with me. As you live your lives and toss around like nothing, but I gave you life.
That was my daughter Brianna singing a song she wrote titled All I Want. You're listening to Pastor Talk, and I want to go ahead, as we said before the break, jump back into our discussion out of the book of Haggai, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. In the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? In comparison with it, is this not in your eyes as nothing? Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you, do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. You know, this morning when I was talking in church to our congregation, I told them that in many ways, some of our lives, we look and we see, you know, it's in rubble. It's just broken. It's torn down. And we wonder how God can make anything good out of it. And I just felt really led to encourage the church and feel led to encourage you that no matter where you are in your life right now, no matter what you're going through, no matter how it looks, if you will take him by the hand and trust him, he will get you through. And he will make the latter greater than the former. The things that, you know, the great experiences you've had with him in the past, I believe he's going to supersede that. I also believe, gentlemen, as we were talking there in our first segment about a revival coming to America, I really firmly believe that there's another great awakening coming, and that the immorality and the sinfulness and the things that we see today, I believe God's going to use it to correct us. I believe it's in Jeremiah chapter 2 where he says to the prophet, your own sin will correct you. Revival's coming. Jeff, you mentioned in the first segment that you thought that difficult times. Kevin, you agreed that you think revival's going to happen through difficult times. The truth is, gentlemen, when we experience difficult times, we tend to look to the Father, and a lot of Americans are like that.
Without the difficult times, we have, in our own mind, no reason to look to the Father. if we look at history in Rome, and the emperor's name escapes me at the moment, but he was supposed to be a Christian emperor. He even gave jobs in preferred places to Christians. So what happened was there was a lot of false conversions. Oh, I'm a Christian. Hire me.
Yeah.
And the gospel really didn't spread. But when he lost power and a, quote, evil emperor entered, he scattered. When the persecution came, they scattered the Christians. The false conversions fell away, and the correct conversions, or the pure conversions, held on and were spread out, and the gospel spread even further around the world. We have been too... It comes back to the prosperity message. We want everything to be so perfect and everything to be what the world calls prosperous. That people come to the church, they get into it, oh, if I name it and claim it, then I'll have X amount of cars and houses.
Grab it.
Right. But that's not the blessings that he says. It says with the measure that you give, it'll be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, not just automatically given to you. We lose the focus on the giving part. We just want the receiving part. And with the troubled times coming, it's going to come down to a bag of gold for a loaf of bread. That we're going to have to rely on him for our every daily need. It's not the great healing services, you know, the what we see as big extravagant things. It's down to our shoes, it's down to our clothes, it's down to our food every day. And when that revival comes through that shaking, the only place we can go is to him. There is no place else to look for help. And when we take him by the hand, when we're close enough to actually reach out and take his hand, it's that proximity. If we're halfway across him, we can't reach to get a hold. We have to decide to walk closer to him. Fortunately, when we decide to get closer to him, he will get closer to us.
Absolutely.
And his steps are a whole lot bigger than ours. It's like a little kid walking alongside the parent. I'm over six foot tall. And Jeff's daughter's too. She probably takes about 8 steps to one of mine. So when I start walking to her, I close the gap faster than she does. And fortunately, that's the way he is with us. Because the earth has his footstool, imagine his stride when he's coming at us.
You know, with you bringing up my daughter and the stride, you know, it really just hit home with me, you know, of the love of the Father. And, you know, Tom's mentioned the rubble. You know, I know what it's like to have a life filled with rubble and to have a life busted in ruins. And when I look around, you know, and I see the things that God's done in my life, I see the people he's placed in my life, I see a wife and 2 beautiful daughters that he's blessed me with that I don't deserve. And, you know, I'm just really humbled by the love that he's shown me. And hopefully, you know, I can be used here in this place to spread that same kind of love, you know, to share that same kind of love. And that's, you know, that's what we're called to do. If, you know, if the new convert is a baby in Christ, people who have had a relationship with the Lord longer, who have grown more in the Lord, should be closing the gap, not only to the new convert in Christ, but to those who are laying out there crying babies that don't even know how to walk, don't know where to go. You have to go to them. You have to take this good news to them and feed it to them and share it with them so that they can experience that love.
When I think about, you know, what you guys are discussing here, I can't help but, you know, kind of be captivated by, as you said, Jeff, the love that he has shown to us. You referenced that you know what it is to have a life that's just rubble, you know. And I think that we all have, at least at some point in time in our life, known what it's like to have our lives just in total disarray. But to think about how good he is and to think about how awesome he has been in, you know, our lives, the three of us in this room, I just want to pour out of my heart and let the people listening know that, listen, I know that maybe you look around and you wonder how he's going to do it, how he's going to fix it, how he's going to make anything better. But I want to tell you how good he is. A testimony was shared with me this morning from our church, actually. A young lady who this week wrote a suicide note to her kids. She was done. She was done with life. She was given up. And God was able to show up in her home uninvited and unannounced and stop her from making that decision. And she's here this morning sharing about how good God is and how God flooded her home with his power, and she felt something that she's never felt before. You know, I think about how God is able to do that. He's so versatile. He doesn't need a pastor. He doesn't need a church. He doesn't need people to do amazing things. I do think that he longs to take all of us and use us together. But what a tremendous testimony of what his Spirit can do. And I would say is still doing. And like I said, uninvited, unannounced. He doesn't need an invitation. He shows up and he does what he wants to do. And what that means is, you know, that person can say, I've been kept, which means preserved for future use, you know, about to make a decision to kind of give up and really ruin the lives of everyone around her, children included. But God showed up and he intervened. I think that's an amazing story. I know that in my own personal life, I can remember praying and saying, I need you to help me. Like, just help me. I didn't know what else to say. Just help me. I could feel a tug of war in my life. And then one day he showed up and he said, listen, I have a plan for your life. It's your way or it's my way. What's it going to be? And I said, it's your way. And I've never been the same. And I think that we all have those stories that bring us to this place. You know, Jeff, you talked about a life of rubble. Today we announced that you're an associate here at the church. I mean, Kevin, it's been a rocky road at times, you know, but today God fulfilled in his in your guys' lives what he has planned for you. And I think it's just the beginning. He's got to keep building. It's kind of like this scripture we just read. He says, work, for I'm with you. Boy, doesn't it make the challenge easier to know that he's with you, that he's for you, he's not against you, and he's strengthening you and keeping you on this journey. What an amazing testimony.
I was reading this morning. Well, first of all, here in Haggai where it says to work. And looking at myself, looking at my own abilities and my attitudes that I have, I felt, to be honest, insufficient. I know that I can't do everything that this ministry is going to call for in myself. I would be a fool to say that I could. But the Lord reminded me of something. It was one of our scriptures we had to memorize when we were in Bible college. In 1 Timothy 1:12, where Paul says, "And I thank the Lord Jesus Christ, who hath enabled me, for he hath counted me faithful."
Amen.
"Putting me into the ministry."
Amen.
Paul, being the Pharisee of all Pharisees, knew the Bible forward and back, what was written. And he didn't think he was able. He knew that it was not himself, it was not his strength, it was not his knowledge. If anyone could have said that he was qualified,
he could have.
He could have, but he did not. Before his conversion, he would have said, "Yes, I can do that." But after his conversion and he was humbled, he knew that it was not his strength. He knew that that call was bigger than what he had ever experienced. And he said that the Lord Jesus Christ enabled him. And looking at myself, I knew I was not capable in myself. But he reminded me that he was going to enable me and that I would be counted faithful.
Amen. I'm just kind of taken back by that. What an amazing testimony for everyone out there listening. And when we think that we're not qualified or not capable, and I like what you said there. You said, I know that within myself, I'm not going to be able to do what this ministry demands. And, I said it again this morning. I've oftentimes stood in front of the people and said, "Listen, you have a pastor that has no idea what he's doing." But I think it's that reliance and trust in God and on his word that really does. Wow. I'm just very moved. I'm very moved. Jeff?
God has a history of coming through. and I don't think that track record's going to change any. And, you know, some things you touched on earlier, you know, being he's never started anything that he's not going to finish. And, you know, that realization that I can't walk without him holding my hand. Yeah. And I don't know if you want to call it just confirmation or just being of the same spirit, of the same mind as he calls us to be. But that was my same heart because, I mean, obviously I've shared with both of you before that just not feeling capable, not feeling adequate to function in any sort of, you know, work for the Lord. But knowing that I will be able to accomplish the things that he wants accomplished so long as he's at the center. Because, you know what I mean? It's right there, black and white, you know, work for I'm with you. That's all you got to trust. That's all you got to believe. And when you go out knowing that he's with you, then he's going to do exactly what he wants to do.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're three guys that said yes. And I can speak for me. When I said yes, I didn't fully understand what I was saying yes to. And ministry has been just 100% transparency. If your pastor out there listening, maybe you're going through struggles, hopefully this encourages you. Ministry has been for me, has provided for me some of the most brutal days of my life. From the feelings of loneliness, the feelings of despair, the feelings of inadequacy, the feelings of being betrayed, having people come against you. The list goes on. All the negative emotions and feelings and situations that ministry has provided for me and my family, they exist. And in many ways, they've left me wounded. But I would do it all over again. Hear me. Because it has provided for me as well the greatest moments of my life. It's seeing the child smile. It's hearing the testimonies of people who have been touched, maybe by a message that you preached, or it's a young man that I've coached who comes back and says, you know, coach, you know, you're such a positive influence in my life. It's sitting in the room with you two guys and knowing my ministry has done something well because God has raised you guys up. And I sit here today knowing it's well worth it. And for everyone out there listening, please hear me today. It's worth it. You may not see the fruit of your labor, but take it from a guy in a small little community called Good Hope in West Virginia. In due time, the fruit is going to be on display, and I'm honored to sit in the room with two guys I just feel like my labor hasn't been in vain. And so with that, as we're nearing sort of the end of our program, I want to give you guys a chance to just tell your story. It's a big day for you guys. I mean, this is a big moment in your life. You know, Kevin, I know that I mentioned your mom this morning. And I just kind of want to ask you, what are your thoughts of what happened today? And you had to think of mom. You had to.
If it wasn't for my mother, I wouldn't be here. Yeah. She brought me here when I was 3 years old. The second or third time that she was here, she had pondered leaving my father. And the pastor at the time gave her a word. Says, if you run, you'll be running the rest of your life. And because my father wouldn't give up getting me back. At that moment, she decided to stay. She stayed here in that church, or in this church, about 26 years, somewhere in that neighborhood. Was a faithful member.
Yes, she was.
Did various things for the church. I grew up here since I was 3 years old. And to her credit, she brought me up in the way that I should go. It was her dream for me to always help you. And in 97, I left for Bible college. I had actually pondered going to a ministry up in Philadelphia to learn street ministry. And other people had, school we went to had a third year team that travels around the country ministering in churches, and they had come here. And after they had left, a few of the guys got applications and applied. Not wanting to be left by myself, I applied too. And basically said, God, if you want me here, I'll get in. If not, I'll go someplace else. I was accepted. went to 2 years, got my associate degree in theology, and was on the third year team myself. And we traveled around the country from New Hampshire to New Mexico.
Nice.
Seeing God do a lot of things, came back, graduated and everything, and started with the tent ministry, working with the tent ministry, and I was the grunt labor. I was driving the tent stakes. I was hauling everything in and out of the trucks. I was everything for the setup, played bass and did sound at the same time, and knew that I was called to ministry because in the tent we saw God move.
Yeah.
Backs healed, eyes healed, ears healed. There was a woman who had been in a wheelchair for 20 years, hadn't felt her feet in 20 years. The doctor said her pelvis was deteriorating because she had been sitting for so long. And the minister, she came up front for prayer. The minister took her shoe off and prayed for her. Tickled her foot, didn't move. He prayed again. Touched her foot again, she flinched. First time she had felt her foot in 20 years.
Wow.
God had started. Wasn't the complete miracle. It was the start of the healing. You know, seeing that kind of stuff, and knowing that I was a part of it. I wasn't the one praying. I wasn't the one up front. I wasn't in the, quote, spotlight. But because I drove the tent stakes, carried the chairs.
Amen.
That was possible.
Amen.
And coming back, building things out of the rubble. I had, sounds odd coming out of Bible school, but I started to build on the house a little bit my way. And I've preached a sermon before where God's rich enough to tear down the house and rebuild it the way he wants. And I've gone through some of that process where what I have built in my style or fashion, he is taking down and reworking to build it the way he wants, because he has the master blueprint.
Amen.
I'm a draftsman by trade. I draw property plats. I draw pipelines. I've drawn houses. I've drawn airplane parts. And what we draw is the master plan. And I started my own company at one point called Kingdom Drafting and Design. And the original logo I had in my head was a big drafting table with the earth on it. And God drafting what he wanted. And that's how we are. We have to allow him to take what we've done, let him tear it down and put it back the way he wants, to his master plan.
Amen.
And today is a good step and say, hey, I've built this addition. Let's do it according to this plan, not what you have said in yourself.
Wow. Jeff, you also grew up in this church, and your story is a little bit different, but today you are also installed as an associate, so share a little bit about your journey.
Sure thing. Yeah, I also was brought to this church by my mother at a very young age. And, she many times has told me that I would have to check with her on the exact wording of the story, but when I was a very small baby, that was prophesied to her that, I was going to speak the word of God, that I was going to, act in that manner for the Lord. And to look back on my life, it wouldn't seem that way, certainly. Most of my rubble and ruin was self-inflicted. And I was thinking about, youth today, that they sort of, you think that it's impressive to rebel against your fathers. And then you look around and you realize that that's kind of the easy road. That's what everybody does. Everybody rebels, whether it's a biological father, a stepfather, or most oftentimes our Father in heaven. And so I kind of went down a rebel's path, as Tom Petty would say, rebel without a cause, for no reason. And the Lord was gracious and saw fit to draw me back from that. I'd go into a lot of particulars at some other time, but it meant a lot for me to be here today, and to have my mom here, and my sister and my brother-in-law, and obviously my wife, and to step into that. And I don't see it, I just see it as more page one. Let's get on with doing the things that God wants me to do. As Kevin said, he's had additions tore down, and basically that same sort of mentality, so to speak. Let's see where this goes. But the only reason I'm going to see where it goes is because I don't have any clue where it's going to go, but I know it's going to go, and I just want to be along for the ride, and mostly the beginning steps of that is, and I've felt this, pretty strongly, because as I'm trying to figure things out and think about where this path goes, it's simply locking myself in with you, being a support, being another chain in the link, another link in the chain.
There you go.
To, help you along. And because we're all trusting and seeking after God, and we're all after the same goal. So I know he'll get us there, and I just want to be part of that.
Well, I can say that I am proud to be along on the ride or journey with you, both of you. And I'm also very excited to see what God's going to do next. The gentleman, as always, thank you for being a part of Pastor Talk and sharing your stories. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Thank you for listening. Remember, your life may look like it's a mess. It may be in rubble. It may be you think the bottom has fallen out. But I'm here to tell you that that God's got it under control. And if you'll put your faith and trust in Him, He'll take your life and He'll make something great of it. I think the best thing that we can do ever with our lives is to impact other lives. And it's a tremendous feeling to know that in some small way, God uses us to help others. And so I just encourage you, don't let go. Don't give up. Hold on to Him. Take hold of His hand. He'll see you through. Okay, we've reached the end of our time here on Pastor Talk. I surely hope you've been blessed. Remember, our mailing address is 8901 Good Hope Pike, Lost Creek, West Virginia, 26385. And you can email me personally, PastorSears@gmail.com. It's been our blessing. It's been our honor. Make sure you, if you haven't subscribed to our podcast, do so. We're all over the place, iTunes, Spreaker.com. blogtalkradio.com/actionministries. You can also, if you go to blogtalkradio.com/actionministries, you can also hear our What's Important Now program that we produce as well. iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pastor Talk is very popular on PodPoint. So we, again, thank you for everyone listening, no matter how you get here to listen. Thank you. We're also on iTunes and Google Podcasts, so you can subscribe there and be updated automatically there on your cell phone when we have a new program. So, anyway. All right, thank you. May God bless you. May He keep you. And may everything you put your hands to prosper. You take care. God bless.